How many of you were around at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon? I was putting my tent up and suddenly I thought there was an eclipse. And it turned out it was the Airbus A380 blocking the sun. What an incredible airplane, largest airliner in the world. It is available for you to tour in Aeroshell Square, and you won't have to look very hard to find it. Tomorrow from 10 o'clock until 4, and on Friday from 9 until noon. And then as the A380 departs, there will be another series of demonstration flybys. The aircraft was flown in from France by way of Milwaukee with Airbus chief pilot and senior vice president of the flight division, Claude Lelay, in the left seat. This year is Airbus's 40th birthday, and we're honored to have Claude Lelay with us this evening. And also, I believe we have in the audience the Airbus CEO, Tom Enders. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our stage the man responsible for testing the incredible Airbus A380 and for flying it here to Oshkosh, Mr. Claude Lelay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Claude, let me ask you, I believe you got your pilot's license when you were 17, is that correct?
Yeah, about.
You know, it's time like this when you need a co-pilot, isn't it? You always give them the dirty work. But you got your license at age 17.
Yes.
What was the career track that took you into becoming a test pilot for Airbus?
My dream has always been to build aircraft. In fact, my dream was not to be a pilot. My father flew in 1929 the Breguet 14 or something like that, and he wanted me to fly. So he pushed me to fly general aviation, light aircraft, gliders.
So you had it in your blood.
Yeah, probably.
What, to those of us who are passengers on airplanes, what is the A380? What is that going to mean to us as people who fly?
As the A380 is really a different aircraft for mainly for passenger. Passenger will be surprised by the comfort and the quietness of the aircraft. Really, that's something different from the existing aircraft.
I think one of the things that we think about as passengers is, my goodness, with an airplane that carries 555 or could be even configured for more than that, what about the waiting time to board the airplane? What about the time to get the luggage on and off? Is that going to be a problem?
No, that's not really an issue. If you think that, in fact, for aircraft with a 500 passenger, you have three bridges with a large door. It's faster than to plane or deplane an aircraft of 150 passenger.
If we wanted to fly, if we want to be among the first people to fly the A380, where would we go? What airlines are available to us now to fly it?
Singapore was the first one to fly. Then you have Emirates and Qantas. Qantas is operating from Los Angeles to Sydney and Melbourne to Los Angeles.
All right. Well, I know the audience is anxious to hear from you and to see your presentation about some of the technical aspects of this marvelous airplane. Thank you for being with us.
I will make a presentation about what we did during the flight test of the A380. You may see some videos that have been seen on internet, but some have never been seen on internet because we believe that they need some explanation to understand why the aircraft seems to have a strange behavior. Alors, let's start by what we have done. We have two types of engine on the A380, the Rolls-Royce engine airlines. Engine Alliance is Pratt & Whitney and General Electric. We started with Rolls-Royce engine certification, and we have used four aircraft for certification, two without cabin, with a heavy flight test instrumentation, like the aircraft we have here, and two with cabin. We flew for the first time in April 2005, and the second aircraft, which is in fact number four for strange reasons, was with a heavy flight test installation, flew in October. Then the aircraft number two, full equipped with a cabin, flew in with his cabin in 2006. And then we had the Engine Alliance, serial number 9, who flew about 1 year after. So what is the summary of the flight test campaign? The outstanding handling qualities. All pilots who flew the aircraft have been very surprised by the fact that it's very easy to fly. Cruise performance is as expected. That's obviously something very, very important. Approach speed is very low, 17 knots lower than the Boeing 747-400 at the max landing weight. External noise, that also has been a very good surprise. It was lower than expected. And comfort in the cabin, really also setting the standard with 3 decibel less than the 747 and the 777. And the cockpit very quiet. And you will see the performance reading during the evacuation. We'll show you the video. First flight, 27th of April 2005. I will skip that. During the flight test campaign, the first thing we have to do is to set the aerodynamic of the aircraft, which means validate slats and flaps deflection and the position of the strakes and size of the strakes. For that, we need basically to do 3 types of tests: climb performance, one engine out with various flaps deflection, stalls. And we did, for the initial phase, 400 stalls. And after that, we did probably 1,000 more for certification. And minimum and stick speed. And I will show you the video. So the first thing was to explore the low speed capability. And we started right at flight 3 to perform stalls. And performing stall is not only measuring the having figures about lift, is just looking what is how the flow is behaving over the wing. So we have this small tuft all over the wing. We are flying with different strakes. The strakes are this small thing on the wing. We flew without strakes, with medium size, wide size, and wider size of strakes to look at the behavior. And you can see here, difficult to see the tufts, but you can see from the strakes, you can see a small vortex which helps the flow to go on the top of the wing. We did also some VMU. VMU means minimum hand stick, which basically you when you have the tail on the runway, you cannot take, and you take off, you cannot take off at a lower speed than that. And that was very important for us to choose what was the best flap setting for one of the takeoff configuration. We were not sure whether the best one was 26 or 29, and we have to make a comparative test between both. So see one picture. What you can see here on this picture is that the aircraft, I want to show the previous one. You see that we have four main gear, two wing gear and two body, and the wing gear are airborne, if I may say, well before the body gear, and that's visible on this picture. Now the video of the VMU. So we need to touch the ground with the tail very smoothly, and then there is a challenge that once we are airborne, the nose must not drop down, and we have a margin only of 1.5 degrees, and if we put a pitch up of more than 1.5 degree, we'll touch behind the tail skid. So look at the wing gear, already airborne, and the aircraft fly on the ground with this two body gear. It seems to be a very strange takeoff, because in fact some of these tests has to be done with very, very low thrust. And we can be at a couple of miles at 300 feet, or not more than that. So in fact, the aerodynamic of the aircraft is really excellent, and we plan to do that, to freeze the aerodynamic configuration in 4 months, and we did that in 3 months. We had nothing to change. The flaps were, we just choose one configuration for the flaps. The slats were at the right configuration from the beginning, and the strakes on the engine, we did not change that. You see the approach speed, 138 knots at max landing weight, landing distance at max landing weight, and takeoff performance on target. We need also to check during the test the behavior of the aircraft with in case of contaminated water. So we did a first series of tests. Unfortunately, we had some problems with broken hydraulic pipes on one of the gear. So we had to redo another campaign later on. So let's have a look at the video. That's a video of the second campaign. See, nose in the. The target is to check that no water in the engine, or not too much to shut down the engine, to check that you have no pipes broken, and so on. Performance. Usually what we are doing in flight test, right from the first flight, first flight, and then during the first 10 flights, we are doing a small verification of the cruise performance on the first aircraft flying. But generally, the first aircraft flying has not the engine fully instrumented. So what we are doing is that second aircraft fly with new engines, and these engines are fully instrumented to be able to measure performance, and you are spending a couple of months to measure cruise performance, which is obviously something very important for transport aircraft. First landing in Hamburg. Well, I don't know who was afraid in this. Our customers were a bit concerned by airport compatibility, which means positioning of the airport bridge, upper deck catering, cargo loaders, ground support equipment, and so on. So we decided to visit almost all our customers to show them how it works, to make them confident that everything was fine. We started with Frankfurt in October 2005, and then we have the big long commercial tour to Singapore, Brisbane, Kuala Lumpur, and Dubai to check all that. Some air show, and the last one is Oshkosh. This picture has been taken during the Dubai Air Show, and you can see the world here built on the sea. I don't know if you heard about that. It's not free of charge. Huh? Campaign, we did that in Medellin to check the performance at high altitude and high temperature. Cold weather campaign in Iqaluit, Canada. We are looking, in fact, we did two campaigns. The first one, we are looking for temperature of around minus 30. And the target for the first time was to check the behavior of the aircraft without the cabin for the basic certification. And then we did another campaign to check the behavior with all the cabin installation, in-flight entertainment systems, and so on. Bon. And basically, we want close to minus 30 with no specific problems. Nice picture of the second campaign at Iqaluit. Alors, cabin evacuation test. That was for us a challenge because we had to the max capacity that we has been decided 853 passengers in a high density version plus 20 crew member, and initially we said maybe we could do that in two steps. First, make the evacuation of the main deck, and another day we make the evacuation of the upper deck, and finally this has been refused by the authorities, and mainly by the way by the FAA, and we had to demonstrate the evacuation of the both deck simultaneously. Now, the rule of the games is that we must have on board people who have never seen the aircraft. We must have cabin crew who have never participated to such an exercise. So that means that nobody from Airbus was on board. The evacuation is only by half of the door, on one side, and at night. In fact, it has been accepted that it was just in the dark to be able to see what's happening via infrared camera. So it will be very quick. You will see picture from the back and from the front with the people going down in two lanes on each slide. And at the back of the slide, you have people from Airbus pushing them out to give way to the people coming behind. So we will start the video. It's quite impressive, and in fact we are a bit afraid to have some people injured, and in fact that went very well. We have only very minor injuries. Now you will see first the preparation of the aircraft, because it was a big working party to install the 853 seats plus the galleys plus in a normal configuration of an aircraft. It was basically to equip commercially a new aircraft, and this aircraft we could not use it for more than 6 months. It's quite impressive, all these people coming in. And they were not aware on which side they were going to escape. So the infrared camera, the upper slides were deployed at the rear of the aircraft. We have two at the upper deck, three, including one at the front. with three slides. What happened? Voilà, it's me. And the back, you see, you have one coming from the wing. This one. And people from Airbus pushing everybody out. And the last one to come out, the captain. We did delay that by a couple of seconds. So you see that we evacuate a lot of people in less than the 90 seconds, which is the rules, and which means that most probably we'll be able to deliver aircraft with a higher capacity, possibly up to 900 people. Just a minute. We had to perform also some natural icing tests, and you see both that sensor that we use for visually. It's quite simple. Huh? You just fly the aircraft in thunderstorm, with a total air temperature of minus 2 degrees. Turn as if you are in a glider. You look at your radar screen, you have the green, the yellow, and the red, and you fly the yellow. Like if you were in a glider, monitoring your total air temperature and descending according to this temperature. And it worked quite well. And we did the test very, very rather quickly. We had a lot of lightning strikes, without about 100, but no specific issue. Lightning strike is not really an issue on this big aircraft. We had no real damage. Just you can see here a photo of the wing during natural icing test. And that's the outer engine, and you can see on the slat only this part is de-iced. Alors, as flight test people, we could not believe what the engineer were saying about why are we going to de-ice that? We'll make some tests with that. With the ice on that, and we can save maybe 60 kilograms with removing the de-icing of this part of the slat. So, we did the natural icing test like that, but we flew also with artificial ice shape like that. And we decided to perform the test with as if the outer the inner slat of the outer engine was not de-iced, and we went up to stall, and it was a disaster. With the stalls were really very strange, and for us we had to say the engineer, the aerodynamicist were fully right, and must accept that we must keep this de-icing system. So sometimes you say you have a big leading edge big like that, what a bit of ice like that will do. The fact is that could be very, very important. And you know that the aerodynamicist for this aircraft was very, very clever. They did very good thing. Negative G test. Well, we did not make inverted flight, obviously. But just to tell you that we have a lot of things to demonstrate, and we need to assess the behavior of the aircraft under negative G, just because in case of turbulence, you may go in a negative G, and you must make sure that your engine will not shut down. You will not will keep your hydraulic. Your flight control will still work. Your electricity will still be there. So we have the regulation ask for a certain number of types of maneuver. Well, that's not an issue. We did some VMCA, minimum speed with one engine out in the air. Well, no specific thing. Just want to mention that the VMC is rather low, 120 knots, which is really very, very low. This is quite an interesting test. As usual, when the test is going wrong. Minimum speed, one engine out on ground. The way we are doing that is, the rule is to shut down, and we put four engine full thrust. At a given speed, we shut down the engine, not at idle, with the fuel lever. And the deviation from the center line must not be above 10 meters. Alors, what we are doing to start with is that you have seen this line, so it's a blue line. We are, which is, and the center line is out, so we have put on the runway in Toulouse a line here to just to keep track. And then when you shut down the engine, we must not go on the other side of the center line. We did usually, it's a very easy test. So you see, I am there. We have on the left-hand seat a young test pilot, and I decide to train him because it's something that we're not doing very often. So this is the center line. We decide to shut down the engine at a rather high speed, about 10 knots, and the deviation should have been 2 meters. You will see my hand here when I will shut down the engine. Tuck, shut down. And you see what happened? The skidding, 14 meter instead of 2. But something was slightly wrong. We were a bit surprised with that. So we decide that we redid the test with another flaps deflection. Maybe the flaps could change. We try to analyze that. Increase the speed. That doesn't change anything. And finally, we had to review everything and to make a specific flight control law that you will see on this picture. And what happened to this new flight control law, when you deflect the rudder on the ground, you put up one spoiler and two ailerons. You will see that maybe it's not obvious on this picture, but it's you will see the same from the back. You will see tack, rudder deflection, difficult to see, voilà. About 10 meters, that's fine. Wow, successful test. just wait a minute, because you have not seen why it was working. So you will see the other one, and or another one from the back. Now, what you will look at is the rudder, and you will see one spoiler here and the ailerons. Shut down, rudder, spoilers, and two ailerons up, and that allows to put the wing on the ground, and it's allowed to recover, to avoid the aircraft skidding on the runway. Bon. Alors, you will tell me that the takeoff is a bit strange. Bon, I agree with you. But you have to accept that the takeoff is at a speed which is very low, about 10 knots below the normal takeoff speed. And when you shut down an engine on an aircraft in normal operation, you go fully straight forward. It's not like that. That's just a flight test maneuver. Bon, we also did the external noise measurement, which was low pass in a different configuration, takeoff, landing configuration, flyover. It was done in the south of Spain. Crosswind, maybe you have seen already some video. We demonstrated that at Keflavik. in November 2008. I must say that I was a bit concerned with crosswind because we could not find enough crosswind. And that was only 1 month before certification, and we had not enough to for the approval of the aircraft before this test. But for this test, we are far more than necessary. So you can see we demonstrate 42 knots average and maximum gust 56 knots. And at landing, on the sixth landing, with the maximum deviation from center line, was 5.4 meter. As you can see some picture, one behind the other. We had about 20 degrees drift with a bit of decrab at landing. Well, a bit of smoke. It's not unusual for that. Some picture from the Icelandic TV. The issue, the real issue, in fact, is not the landing, but takeoff. Because it's a takeoff, we cannot avoid the aircraft to bank a bit. That, despite a specific flight control law, this is another landing. Max energy rejected takeoff. So we have also to demonstrate the max energy we can put in the brakes, and that specific demonstration. There is a specific rule. We need to taxi for 3 miles, make a three stop, then the brakes at about 100 degrees, make an acceleration, stop the aircraft, vacate the runway, and then until 5 minutes after the aircraft stopped, the fireman should not put water on the wheels and the brakes. 5 minutes. If we can wait 5 minutes, the test is successful. Otherwise, it's missed. Bon. So you see, 577 tons above max takeoff weight and speed 167 knots. Well, we are not accelerating very fast due to the weight. Look at the shape of the wing when we start braking. Sure, starting braking. When we deploy the spoilers. It's a very, very expensive test. If you miss it, because you have to change the wheels, the brakes, and we have 17 trucks to send to East. The cost of this test is about... $5 million. Alors, we are going to stop. You will see a bit of smoke on the wheels, a bit of flame. So, well, it's burning a bit. Then we have to stop, measure the performance, and so on. You see a bit of stop, and then we are stopping and see that the fuse, the tires are deflating. Then all the flight tires are deflated, and the firemen are coming, one group per... early long flight. As it is something that we introduced for the A340-600, because, we have to be honest, the first the operation of the first A340 was not very good. Not from a technical point of view, but from the point of view of the cabin. We did not take a sufficient care with the cabin, so we decided from the A340-600 to perform some preliminary flight with cabin fully equipped. Because when we develop, a cabin, we have a lot of systems. We have heating systems that we can put at 20 watts if you are sleeping, 50 watts if you are eating, 100 watts if you have a nice girl close to you. But that's not sufficient. You cannot develop an aircraft like that, and we have clearly demonstrated that. So we decide to perform what we call the early long flights with passenger on board. They were only Airbus passenger who win designated among candidates. What we can imagine, we had a lot of candidates. And we did 4 flights, 7 hours, 10 hours, 1 night flight, and 15 hours. And it was also interesting because it was a Lufthansa cabin crew, and the cabin crew gave us his opinion was also something very interesting for us. And in fact, we discovered something which was really a surprise for us, is the condensation. We at the end of the first flight, it started, we had a droplet, a bit of water dropping from the at some place in the cockpit. That's impossible to see if you have no passenger on board, because your humidity is not at all the same. So it clearly demonstrates that this type of flight is really useful. Well, obviously, this problem has been solved since that. No, I'm not much time, I will skip that. Well, we had also for to perform a technical route proving. That's the rule in certification, 300 flight hours. In fact, we did only 150, taking the opportunity of other flight. It must be operate like if it was in an airline. And we did mainly trip in Asia, where we had customers, and the most interesting trip was the last one from Toulouse, Johannesburg, Sydney via South Pole, Sydney, Vancouver, Vancouver, Toulouse via North Pole. It was interesting to make the round the world via the pole. And personally, I have a great souvenir from the South Pole. You have nobody. Nobody on the radio. You cannot join any base or whatever. You are like if you were not even in the sky here, because here you have the radio. But it's really fun. It's beautiful weather. Certification. Well, it was in December 2006, and FAA certification the same day. First customer was Singapore Airline, and they start with a charity flight in October 2007. Engine Alliance flew in 2007 and certification in December. First flight in 2006 and certification 2007. So Engine Alliance is the engine that we have today on aircraft number 4 that we have here. A few words on the wake vortex, because it's has been a big debate, and it is still a big debate. You may don't know if you are familiar with that, but there is three categories. Light aircraft are the light. I know in US it's the categories are slightly different, and they don't have the same name. But that's the ICAO official names. Light, medium, from 7 to 136 tons, and heavy above. Separation at landing at take just the heavy behind the heavy, it's 4 miles. And if you have a medium behind the heavy, it's 5 miles. And cruise, it's in all case 5 miles. People were very concerned by the A380, with the vortex of the A380. Just because the vortex is probably bigger when the aircraft is bigger. And people were afraid of the consequence of the vortex on such with such an aircraft. So we did an extensive campaign to see what's going on, and we have been pushed to do that because some people did not accept so easily the result of our test. We did more than 300 flight hours. We did more than 600 LiDAR run. LiDAR is a laser system which analyzes the speeds of particles to measure the intensity of the vortex, the strength of the vortex, and quick encounter by just more than 1,000 encounters, just entering the vortex with another aircraft. Give you more details. The back-to-back LiDAR tests were like that. We had a 747 and an A380, and we were turning like that for hours and hours, every 5 minutes, to make statistics, analyzing with the LiDAR the A380 and then the 747. The issue is that with the LiDAR, you are just looking what is the intensity of the vortex of the generator. You are not looking at the consequence. Or what is important is the consequence. It's well shown on this, I will not go into too much the detail of this this picture, but you have a reference aircraft, and you create a vortex, and at the end, you have a hazard created by this vortex. When you go through the LiDAR, you stop here. With wake encounter, you can go up to there. What are the consequences on the follower aircraft? So we decide to make some encounters just flying in the wake of a generator with various types of aircraft. To measure various parameters, the key parameter we have to measure is the altitude loss, vertical acceleration, and in fact the key parameter are roll rate and roll acceleration. And typically what we did in cruise is we got a 747 side by side with an A380 flying just like that, Mach 0.5. Above we had a Falcon equipped with a LiDAR, sorry about that. And behind we had an A318 making encounters like that in the wake of the 747, which was materialized at high altitude by contrails. 747, then A380, 747, A380, and so on, to get statistics. The results in cruise were straightforward, that finally there was no difference at all between the 747 and the A380, and for this flight, the chief test pilot of the FAA was on board and agreed with us that there was no specific issue with the A380. Voilà. So you can see the contrail here, the vortex, which is the contrail is in fact the vortex. We'll enter with the A318, and you will see a bit of buffet and a small oscillation in roll. And most of the time we are doing that stick free. So you see a bit of buffeting vibration, a bit of oscillation, but not too much on this one. Sometimes we have more. And the second vortex of the same aircraft. Okay, and the pilot take over and prepare for the following encounter. Alors, there is a lot of scatter. Hein? Sometimes you are up to 30 degrees bank. Sometimes you have nothing happened, or you have 20 degrees bank. It's not really very repetitive. That's true. Hein? That's what we saw really from the A380. Hein? This is the Lufthansa. It's publicity for Lufthansa from the test. So, in short, in cruise, no difference between the 380 and the other AVs. In approach, that was slightly different. After 6 years of intensive work, we found that a light aircraft can fly at 6 miles by a 747, but a Boeing 747 has to be six nautical miles by an A380. With a bit of common sense, you could believe that something is wrong. But everybody doesn't agree that it is wrong. Alors, we decide to make encounter in approach, and we equipped. We equipped the both an S380 and an S340-600 with smoke generator, but like you have seen on all aircraft in the display, no difference. Maybe a bit more smoke. We're doing. And then you see we did a lot of preparation flight to make this back-to-back test, and we flew S380-640-600. Making encounters with an S320 behind at various distance to analyze the results. And we did that with an S320, a medium category aircraft, and we did that also with an S300, the old Airbus, from the very beginning, representing the heavy category. And just to show you I will show you the video. I will show you quickly the video from the A320, taken from the head-up display. A bit of bank angle. No? It's about 5 to 8 meter diameter. And now we will replace that with this tool. Look at the position of the stick. Yes, that's a replay. You will see the stick will stay there in the middle, clack, stick neutral, and then the pilot recover. Bon, just to show you to finish, the results from the AV, forget vertical load factor, which is peanuts, and actual deviation, which is zero, but roll acceleration is the same for a standard AV. The roll acceleration is the same for both aircraft, and roll rate is very close, 1 degree per second, which is about nothing, and you cannot see in flight the difference. So our conclusion is that we should have no penalty, but we still have 2 nautical miles penalty, and we are working very hard with the authorities, mainly with the FAA, to try to reduce that. Just last word on the wake vortex, and I finished. We have done something that nobody has done before, 300 flight test hours with a lot of LiDAR run and a lot of wake encounter, where the huge amount of results that could be used by some other people if they want to reduce the separation. The analysis of that should allow that. And we still need to work, to get an approval to reduce the separation to the penalty to zero. Thank you. Just to tell you, that's not a photo montage. We make a flight like that. Thank you. So, have you some questions? I don't know if I have time or not.
Don't go away, because we have a surprise. First of all, thank you for a most enlightening presentation. I feel like I can go out and fly that plane now.
Tomorrow morning.
When Claude flew the A380 to Oshkosh yesterday, he brought with him a very special passenger. Not a human, but an airplane. In the cargo hold of this ship, identical to the one he flew to Oshkosh for the first time when he came here for the first time, a tiny twin-engine airplane, in fact, the smallest twin in the world, coming in the largest airplane in the world. Claude, tell us about that first trip in the Cri-Cri, because I think a lot of Americans may not know what the Cri-Cri is.
The Cri-Cri is a small twin-engine aircraft. Max takeoff weight was at this time about 150 kilograms, let's say 300 pounds. We had two engines of 11 horsepower at this time. Now we have Very powerful engine, 15 horsepower on each side. But now we had only 11, and we started. We were two in a robotic team. We started to perform with a loop, but we could not do more than two loop, one behind the other. It was finished. Not enough power.
Well, I know this Kri-Kri that you brought over is not the exact plane that you flew, but it's exactly like that plane, and it is going to be available for people to look at. Tomorrow, is that correct?
Yeah,
and
yes,
so probably over in the same area where the A380 is. Claude, I have a plaque here. I want to show it to the audience. It's a beautiful plaque with a full color picture of the A380 and the Kri-Kri. And the plaque says, presented to Claude Lalay in recognition of flying to Oshkosh in the world's smallest twin, the Kri-Kri, and the world's largest, the Airbus A380. We thank you. Signed, Tom Poberesny, President, Experimental Aircraft Association.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Yes. I'll let Claude get his computer back. I don't think he wants to make that as a donation to the EAA.
No. I keep that for me. I can give you some video if you want, but no, some other I keep for me.
You know, you must hear some interesting ATC controller pilot conversations from time to time.
What?
There was one the other day, a student pilot, obviously, ATC near Houston, and the controller said, November 1 Hotel Romeo, what are your intentions? And the student stammered back, well, to get a commercial rating and ultimately an instrument ticket. And the controller said, I meant the next 5 minutes, not the next 5 years. You better hurry or I'll tell another one. Thank you so much, Claude. Let's hear it again for Claude Lalay. And I'll see you tomorrow. I want to come over and see your airplane.
See you.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you in the airplane.